Welcome to the September 3rd, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is entitled Remodeling. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We are so pleased that you are joining us for worship this morning. Whether a first-time guest or a long-time member, we are blessed by your presence this morning. Several announcements that I'll give to you as we get started. We would like to get a record of you being here this morning. There are pew pads on every pew on the inside aisle. We invite you to if you're there at the inside aisle, to start that pew pad. Members and guests, we invite you to do this for us. Members, fill out your name and check the appropriate boxes and any change in your contact information. And then our guests, we ask for you to fill all of the information out as you feel comfortable. This does a couple things. It lets us know that you were here, and also it gives us up-to-date contact information so we can get in touch with you. Once you sign that, send it to the end of the pew. When it gets to the end of the pew, we ask that you send it all the way back to where it started so our ushers can pick those up. And that would be a good time for our members to check and see if there's somebody on your pew that you are is new to you. Find out what their name is and introduce yourself a little bit later in the service. We appreciate you helping us out with those pew pads. Other announcements I'll make, we will not have anything this evening for Sunday night. Because it is Labor Day, there will be no activities tonight, and the office, the church office is closed tomorrow, just so you will be aware of that. Regular Wednesday schedule started this past week with our 5:30, our supper, family night supper, and then at 6:45, all the discipleship and mission groups began for children and for youth. Just one note that the music groups for children will not begin until the music leaders give everybody a call. So stay tuned to your newsletter for when that will begin very, very soon. Let's see. There is a couple announcements I would like to make. We're having a special guest in two Sundays. Marty Dupree is a consultant with the Baptist State Convention. He's on the evangelism and church growth team for the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. He will be here in worship with us Sunday morning, September the 17th. At 9:30 in the morning, there will be a lifestyle evangelism class in place of Sunday school. That can be an elective for those who choose to come. And he will also be in here for worship. And then there will be a special session at 5 o'clock that Marty will be leading, preparing your heart to pray for and share with the lost. And then he will be sharing also in our Life Contemporary service, which is at 7 o'clock every evening, every Sunday evening. So this is a evangelism emphasis for that day, Sunday, September the 17th. There'll be Sunday school class, there'll be in worship, there will be a special afternoon Sunday session, and then in life. So several times for you to get to know Marty and to hear him. He's a great speaker and a passionate speaker about sharing the gospel with people who don't know. So we hope that you will make plans to attend that. There will be a special bulletin insert next week for you to get all the information. Make sure to check that out and stay tuned for information to come about that. Reminder about also, our Denominational Relations Committee has been hard at work coming up with an alternative giving plan for those who are wishing to have one of those. They have come together with a plan to give away missions resource money. That plan will come before the church in a called conference on September the 27th. So we hope that there will be information about that coming out. We want to give you plenty of time to prepare to find out that information. And we appreciate the Denominational Relations Committee and all the work that they have done to prepare this alternate giving plan. So let's see. Also, last week we began our prayer partner ministry. For those of you that do not know, all of our adults, we invite to become prayer partners for the children, the youth, and the college students in our church. And we have about 130 of those from preschooler through college students that need adult prayer partners. A large majority of them got picked up last weekend. There are probably about 40 or so still on the table as you leave the church. If you're willing and able to pray for an individual child, a youth, or college student on a regular basis, we invite you to take one of those envelopes that's out by Smith Hall. And inside the envelope, you will find the name of your prayer partner. If you picked one up last week or you're going to pick one up today, I would like to know which person you have as your prayer partner. So if you could send me an email, go to our website and find my email address, or just give us a call there in the church and let me know who your prayer partner is. This will allow us to be able to contact you and know who is who. So we appreciate you being a part of that. This is one of the best ministries that we do, as our young people are prayed for and their parents are prayed for, and so we appreciate you supporting us in that. I think that's all the announcements that we have this morning. We do want to say a very special welcome to our guests. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. And just a few moments ago, you gave us information, if you're a guest, your information telling us a little bit about you. We would like to pass out some information to you to tell you about us. If you just raise your hand if you're a guest this morning, our ushers will come down and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet of information tells you a little bit of the history of College Park, as well as things that we do on a regular basis and things we believe in. And we know that this is one of the best ways for you to find out who we are. Inside is also a newsletter that you will find out things that are going on in the life of our church right now. The best way to find out who College Park is to join us right here in the sanctuary every Sunday morning. And we appreciate you being here this morning. One of the things that we do to begin our worship service is to join our voices together for the invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that you will find in the beginning of your bulletin. And I invite you to stand now for an invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Praise the Lord.
Praise the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, on this beautiful day, we have come to say and to tell you that we know that you are the giver of all good gifts. You have blessed us beyond what we deserve, beyond what we could ever comprehend. You have given us life. On this day, we are able to leave our homes and to come to this place, and that is a gift. It is a blessing to be able to join our hearts and our voices together with fellow believers in Christ. So we thank you for this gift. We did not come this morning for us. We have come to worship your name because something within us calls us here. Our gratitude, our thankfulness. We wanted to give you worship and praise and to glorify your name. And to say at this moment, we thank you and we love you. Because you are a perfect God. You are righteous in every way. You are holy. You are the giver of life. So we come and we worship. And we thank you. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
As we share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture, I'll be reading two passages from the New Testament this morning. First, from the Gospel of Mark in the 7th chapter. And as you see printed in your order of service, we'll be reading three short passages, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, and then 21 through 23 from Mark chapter 7. the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." And also in the New Testament, from the book of James, in the first chapter, verses 17 through 27. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evilment that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. As we enter into a time of pastoral prayer this morning, I'd like to share with you the concerns of several families among us. First, many of you know that Jim Palmer's brother passed away this week, and Jim and Linda have been with family in South Carolina. The service for Jim's brother will be this afternoon in Seneca, South Carolina. And also, as many of you now know, one of our dear friends, Ruth King, went on to be with the Lord on Friday morning, early Friday morning, and we're blessed to have some of Ruth's family here today. The services for Ruth will be here at College Park on Wednesday morning. The service will be at 11 a.m. There will be visitation at 10 a.m. The family will receive friends from 10 a.m. Until shortly before the service in Smith Hall. So I want to let you know those concerns. Let us pray. Dear Lord, the concerns of our hearts are many, and they're heavy. And we come to you because we look for the kind of peace and comfort and love that only you can provide. Lord, you know better than we that some of our dear friends and loved ones have gone on to be with you this week. Our brothers and sisters have lost their loved ones, their family members, and have grieved that loss this week and will continue to do so. Lord, we give thanks for people that you share with us, people like Ruth King, people that bless our lives in so many ways, and through the years create memories and create warmth and joy that Christian fellowship provides. Lord, we rejoice that our loved ones have gone on to be with you. Even when we grieve, we do rejoice, Lord, in the blessing of the promises that you have made for us. Lord, in our times of weakness, as we hurt, whether through this loss, through our health concerns and the weaknesses of our bodies, through the struggles that we have and different things that we're dealing with right now, and the ways that our minds and our hearts are hurting, a hurt that only you understand and that only you can help us heal from. Lord, we grab hold of the promises that you've given us and the covenants that you've made for us. We take hold of the covenants that you've made with our ancestors, Noah and Abraham and Moses. We take hold of the promises that you've made for us, that you will always love us and that you will always be there for us. Because, Lord, we are weak and you are strong and you are our great guiding light, Lord. And help be a beacon for us to keep our eyes focused on you when so much around us can just drag us down. Let us focus on you, Lord, the promises that you have made for us, that you will deliver us if we grab hold of those promises. Lord, bless these people. Thank you for the blessing that we have, not only to come to you in prayer, but to come to you in prayer on behalf of our brothers and sisters, to intercede for them and pray for your guidance and strength and warmth and love upon their lives as they deal with different things and as they go through this coming week and all that it will hold. Lord, thank you for listening to our prayer. Thank you for listening to the prayers of all the people. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Would you pray with me? Our dear God, we come to you today with humble and grateful hearts. We are so thankful for the many worldly blessings you shower upon us. The blessings of home and family, Christian friends, and our daily provision. Lord, help us to be more mindful of the eternal blessings that you give us. The gift of your love, of your Son, your gift of salvation, the gift of prayer, the gift of your word, the gift of worship. Father, help us remember our obligations as your children to share these gifts with others, so that the name of the Lord will be known and that the name of the Lord will be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to welcome everyone here this morning and tell you that it's my pleasure to be here in front of you this morning. Many of you might not know who I am if you're a guest for the first time. My name is Matt Wilson. I grew up here at this church. I'm in Divinity School at Campbell, and I've been working construction all summer. It's probably the first year and or the first summer in probably 3 or 4 years that I haven't worked in a church, and it's been different. It's been difficult, but it's been fun. I've been laboring all summer long, and so Raymond came to me a few weeks ago and said, "Hey, you've been laboring all summer. Why don't you preach on Labor Day?" And I said, "Oh, you must be going out of town." And so Raymond's, I think, in Hendersonville visiting his family this morning, and so you're stuck with me, I guess. But isn't it a great feeling knowing that we have tomorrow off? I hope most of y'all have tomorrow off, because I do, and I'm looking forward to sleeping in a little bit. I've said I've been working in construction. I've been working with power tools, nailing with nail guns, saws, everything, working with welders, and it's been fun, but doing it every day, sometimes it becomes boring. No matter what you do in your life, it can become boring because you do it every day. Whether that's a school teacher, whether that's a youth minister, whether that's a construction worker, or somebody just working in corporate America, the business world. Whatever you do, it can become boring. And there was one day, or I guess a week this summer, I was scraping linoleum floors for 3 days straight in one house, and it wasn't coming up, and I was just getting so frustrated with me not being able to scrape up a little bit of linoleum. And I got to thinking about this book that I was supposed to read in undergrad at Mars Hill. I didn't make it all the way through it. That's probably a big surprise to my parents. It's called Fish. It's not about fishing, though. It's about a fish market. It's about a place in Seattle, Washington, Pike's Place Fish Market. And on the front of the book, it says, "A remarkable way to boost morale and improve results." Well, I needed a little morale boosting when I was scraping linoleum floors for 3 days, and I needed some results to improve or I was going to get fired probably. But I got to thinking about that book, and I picked it up and read it. And so I didn't waste my money buying the book. But it talks about how we need to change our attitude when we go to work every day, because we do it day in and day out, and it becomes boring. And this fish market, Seattle, Washington, it's cold, it's wet, it's smelly, I'm sure it's slimy working with fish all day long. And this once job that people hated to do has now become probably one of the funnest places to work in Seattle and one of the most visited sites in Seattle. And I got to thinking about that and thinking of how, you know, these guys work with fish all day long. They clean fish. They throw fish over people's heads and catch them as they're getting ready to check out. They take the fish and they make puppets out of them, talking to little kids and people that just need a morale boost for the day, I guess. And I got to thinking about that. And, you know, that's what I need in my life. But then I got to thinking about how, yeah, that's what I need, a morale boost. But, you know, I shouldn't be thinking about my work when I'm working construction every day. I asked myself a question. I said, do I work for West End Construction or do I serve God at West End Construction? And I reflected a lot about that this summer. And I was drawn to a passage in Haggai. It's in the Old Testament. It's page 667 in your pew Bible. Roger helped me find that one this morning. And I'm going to read a few verses from that now, and then we're going to come back and skip around some verses later on. But Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build the house so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expect much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and the labor of your hands. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for waking us up this morning and bringing us here to your house to worship you. I pray that each of us might reflect on our own life this morning and see how maybe we need to shift our focus. Maybe we need to consider our ways and to focus on you when we're working every day and we get caught up in work, when we should be thinking about serving you while we're at our jobs. And I just pray that that would be your challenge to us this morning. Amen. Have you ever experienced a drought in your own life? Luckily, I can say I've never experienced a physical drought, I don't think. I've never seen the land truly suffer because of lack of rain. But over this last year, I can say I've experienced a spiritual drought. Some of you might be thinking, how? I'm in divinity school, all that wisdom right there in front of me. But maybe my focus or my priorities, or maybe I'm putting limits on what I'm going to allow God to do. And when this happens, when we start to put limits on God, I like to call it when we become plastic people. I'm going to read a little bit of a song here for you by Casting Crowns. Is there anyone that fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? Because when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I'll know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. So I tuck it all away like everything's okay. If I make them believe it, maybe I'll believe it too. So with a painted grin, I play that part again. So everyone will see me the way that I see them. Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeples with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But the invitation is open to every heart that has been broken. Maybe then we'll close the curtain to our stained glass masquerade. I've put limits on God, and I've suffered a drought because of that, just in my spiritual life. And so a lot of the message today will be reflections on my own life to you, because that's what I know of, and that's what I can speak of personally. And so let's jump back to verse 5 real quick. Let me read it again. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Haggai here talks about signs of a drought. First, in the physical sense of the land suffering. When I think about that, I think about that as the church, the body of believers, and how sometimes we suffer because we put our own priorities here at church and not God's priorities. But then he takes it a little further and makes it personal. He talks about our hunger that's never met and our thirst that's never quenched. You know, it doesn't matter if you're standing in the middle of the Yakin River, waist deep in water, you still can become dehydrated and you still can die from thirst if you don't lean over and take a sip of water. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you can become frustrated with your life. Maybe because your focus isn't on what it should be. Maybe it's on things of this earth and not things above. Back to verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled house while this house remains a ruin? I thought about ruin and thought about, you know, what did it mean when it was translated? And so I went back to my Hebrew dictionary and looked it up. It can be looked at as dry, desolate, wasted, or in ruin. So how do our lives become dry? How do they become a ruin? To me, it's pretty simple from this passage. Is we put up walls. We put up limits on God, on what we'll allow Him to do in us. Like I said earlier, I've been in a spiritual drought. I've suffered because I've put up limits on God. I've said, God, I'm not going to do this. I told God what I was going to do. a quick story about my life. I've been working construction all summer. I've been out of undergrad for a year and a half about now, and I've been in divinity school. I've been searching for a place to serve God in a full-time ministry position, and it just hadn't worked out yet, and it's kind of frustrated me. I've been everywhere from Yakinville to the beach down at Southport, because I couldn't go any further east because that's the beach. And so I told God, I said, you know, I'm not going any further west than Winston. And I guess that's where my frustration came from. A few months ago at a life service, Cindy Johnson led us in a creative worship service. There were a couple stations set up around the room. One of them was you could go and draw a picture about something that God was doing in your life at the time. Another one of them was you could go and just simply sit there and pray. One of them was you could memorize scripture as your act of worship to God. And then there was this other one. There was these rocks on this table and a vase of water. I said, I'll go to that one, you know. And so what we were supposed to do there was to take a rock and to hold it in your hand and to feel it and touch it and to pray about something that you hadn't given away to God, something that was a burden in your life that you needed to give over to God. And so as I held that rock, I leaned on the wall in Smith Hall and I started praying. And I prayed that, you know, I was just frustrated with my life and frustrated at the fact that I wasn't where I thought I should have been in my life and in my walk with Christ and serving Him. And I said, God, I've been looking for a church. I've had interviews, but it hadn't worked out. I said, I can't go. And right there, I realized that I'd put limits on God. I said, I'm not going any further west than Winston-Salem. And that caused me to be frustrated. Well, I prayed about that, and I just gave God. I said, God, you have me. I said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And when I committed to the ministry a while ago, that was my prayer. I said, God, I'll go wherever you send me. But here I am getting caught up with life, getting caught up at being at divinity school, driving 2 hours, and I wasn't willing to go an hour further to some place that was further away from school. And so I gave it to God that night. Well, the next day I went to construction, worked all day long, hot, sweaty, nasty. Get back in my truck that afternoon about 5 o'clock and pick up my cell phone. Two churches had called me, one that was further west than Winston and then one that was closer to Raleigh. And I said, okay, God, you got me. You got me. And I got to think, you know, who am I to put limits on God? Who am I to put limits on the person that created me? He knows what I can do. And so I'd allowed my life to become a ruin. It says the Lord's house. And so once again, I went to the Hebrew translation to see what the Lord's house translated as. And it translated as a house, a home, or a temple. When I thought to myself, a temple, I said, let's expand on that. And so I'd invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. God's temple is sacred. You are that temple. Now flip over one more page, probably, to chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We're not our own. We're God's. And we can't hide from God inside our paneled houses. We can't put limits on God, because if we do, we'll only be frustrated. You know, He created us, and He created us to live in this world for a purpose. And I know we're doing a lot of flipping, but jump back to Haggai, and we're going to go to chapter 2 real quick. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. the Lord Almighty over and over again in that passage. And who am I? Who am I to put limits on God? God shook up my spiritual life this summer when I thought I wasn't going any further west than Winston-Salem. And I ended up going further west and talking to a couple churches, and that didn't work out. But that allowed me to see that, you know, I can't put limits on the person that created me. And so, but how do we get to that point? How do we get to the point where God's going to shake up the land? Go back to Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build the house, so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and the labor of your hands. God will shake our life if we allow Him to. You know, our lives need to be remodeled sometimes. Mine did this summer. The challenge is, will you allow God to do that? You know, God created us for a purpose in this world. We're His tool. But the question is, who's using that tool? Is it you? Or is it the person who made you, who created you, and created you in this world for a purpose? And so that's my prayer today for myself and also for you, that you will allow God to use you how He created you. And that if you have any walls that you've put on God, that you will allow Him to knock those down and for you to live totally for Him. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I just pray today that we would get our lives focused back on You if they're already not. And I pray that we would realize who we serve every day. It's not our jobs. It's not any organization that we're involved in. But it's You who created all of that and who created us to work in that for You. I just ask if we would consider our ways and to focus on You. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to sing a hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 604, Come All Christians, Be Committed. If you need to recommit your life to Christ today, talk to somebody about it. It's so much easier when you have somebody to talk to and not on your own. I'll be down here at front. Jeff's going to be down here. Come talk to us if you would like. Talk to the person sitting next to you. I'm sure they would love to talk with you about your life and maybe about theirs. If you're not a member of this church and you would like to join this body, we accept members, I believe, in all different ways, except college kids under watch care. And so if you would like to talk to Jeff about that, I'll let you talk to him. Just come down here and talk to him. And we'd love to have you here as a member of this church, but we're just glad you're here this morning worshiping with us. And so I'd ask if everyone could please join us in standing. Please join me in standing as we sing hymn number 604, Come All Christians, Be Committed.
We appreciate Matt coming and sharing with us, and it was definitely a challenge. And we pray that God might bless you as you leave this place, as God has blessed us through Matt this morning. Thank you for coming. Raymond will be back next week, so enjoy a little bit of break from him. And you can tell him I said that. You know, now that I've got the mic, I've got the power. So we are so glad to see you this morning. Now let us pray together. Our Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing of your presence in this place, and we pray that your blessings would go with us and keep us safe until we return next week. In Christ's name, amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.